Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Gio. And I'm glad you brought that up because I remember back in 1987, the biggest problem we had as a union was that we had 1,500 participants, it felt like, every single day in the media that we had to deal with, and we were unable to deal with those things. So when guys like Lawrence Taylor and Joe Montana went back and crossed over the picket lines and decided to go back to work because they either wanted the money or liked their owners or needed the money, whatever the reasons were, it was impossible to stay together. And that was one of the reasons why the NFLPA is one of the weakest unions out of all the sports unions out there. This is kind of shocking to me a little bit with what's going on with the Major League Baseball Players Association. You have guys like Trevor Bauer going after people like, well, Scott Boras. Now, Scott Boras may not be the most popular person on the planet when it comes to baseball fans, but he does a very good job for his clients. And I will tell you that guys like him and Drew Rosenhaus, while, you know, you get the shakes when you stand around them, and you're thinking that maybe the fleas are going to come flying off of them and stick to you. But the fact remains is that they do a really good job. So he poaches another client, and he goes out and gets Blake Snell, and Blake Snell now becomes one of his clients, and he takes him away from another agency. And, you know, this is what goes on in that world behind the scenes. It's ugly. And Trevor Bauer took issue with some of the commentary I'm assuming that Scott Boras has made over the last few days, because he doesn't speak for the Players Association because he's an agent. But I think that Scott Boras looks at this thing in the big picture. Yeah, he may lose a little money this year. Everybody's losing money this year. We all get that. But I think what he wants to make sure that doesn't happen is that he doesn't want baseball as he knows it to change any way, shape, or form financially as we move through 2020 and head into 2021, because he'll have a whole slew of free agents, you know, next year at this time, or not, you know, leading into next season. And he wants to make sure that those guys get paid so they don't want to agree to something that is going to impact the future. And that's why I do keep saying that all Major League Baseball right now is talking about is just this year and trying to get this year off the ground. So the players' proposal back to the owners may include the ability to play 100 games. You know why? Because the players want their money. If the players are saying we'll play 100 games, well, then you might as well throw the health and safety issue out, because they're saying they want to play more games, not less games. And so that whole health and safety issue and being protected and all of that crap is not really what this is all about. What this is all about is about the almighty dollar and who's paying it and who's getting paid. Yeah. And Max Scherzer came out and basically said this is a non-starter. And again, you know, because of social media, you know, these players have an opportunity to put all of their opinions out there. And I would just, even a guy that is as thoughtful and as bright and as good as Max Scherzer is, I would just button it up and don't say a word, because the more these guys say, the more the fans start getting frustrated with how this whole thing is going down. And by the way, Max Scherzer is supposed to make this year $35.9 million. He signed a 7-year, $210 million contract. He's right in the middle of it. He'll be a free agent in 2022. And that $210 million contract includes a $50 million signing bonus, and $105 of that $210 million will be paid between the years 2022, I believe, and 2028. So his money's all protected.
Yeah, and Max Scherzer is a guy who could probably go an entire year, and I'm not assuming financial situations for any of these guys, but this one's a little bit easier for me to assume, but could go a year without getting paid and be totally fine. And I know that everybody assumes that every single Major League Baseball player is in a situation where they could go an entire year without earning a cent and they're going to be okay, but that's not the case. I mean, there are some guys that make the league minimum that now they're facing a reality where they might not get another dollar starting Sunday. They've got multiple kids, they've got a house, they've got everything that you would assume that someone at that age making a decent salary would have, and then all of a sudden, boom, the faucet gets turned off and you got nothing. And those are the guys that are going to want to play. Those are the guys that like this deal. Those are the ones that'll say, hey, $200,000 of my $400,000 sounds pretty damn good to me. But then you got the upper echelon of the union, guys like Max Scherzer, who are saying you're going to take away 70% of my salary. Sure, you know, Gerrit Cole in the same boat. Sure, I'm still going to make, you know, $7 to $10 million somewhere in that range, but you're taking away almost 80% of my salary, and I'm supposed to be okay with this? And it's just not – this is why every day the waters get muddier and muddier. Because if you can't even get your union on the same page, then that is a big problem. Now, you mentioned the term divide and conquer yesterday with the owners. Now, I don't even know if divide they have done. Conquer is going to be the harder one. For them to conquer, they got to play some games, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to play some games.
Well, the divide part is to let the rank and file guys, the guys that are making, you know, somewhere between $1.5 million and $500,000, we're telling you guys you're going to make 90% of your money if you come back, of your prorated salary, plus the money that you've already made for not playing up to this point. Everybody tends to forget that the players did receive money, $170 million up to this point. And I know exactly what the negotiation tack is. But the one thing I will say is that the Major League Baseball Players Association, you know, deals with this stuff every few years. And the one thing that I do appreciate more than anything else is I do appreciate their superstars. Their Max Scherzers, their Bryce Harpers, Mike Trouts of the world sticking together and saying, look, man, yeah, we have the most to lose, but we also had to come up through the system like the rest of the guys did. And, you know, we have to protect the system that we have benefited from. So I totally understand why the players feel the way they do. I totally understand it, especially when they feel like there is a major, major distrust with the owners and how they're treated by the owners, especially if you look back 2 years ago. And I remember you and I were talking about this, you know, once the analytics gurus have gotten their meat hooks into all these teams and front offices, and they started evaluating these numbers and looking at these numbers, and they started saying, you know what, we're not going to pay these crazy salaries anymore, because just because a guy has a name at the age of 35 doesn't mean he deserves $35 million a year anymore, because he's not going to be able to put up that performance that he did when he was 28. And I think the analytics gurus for a lot of these teams have gotten in the middle of all of these contract negotiations. Now, eventually, or every now and then, you're going to get a guy like a Gerrit Cole. You're going to get a guy like a Mike Trout. Maybe next year it's going to be Mookie Betts that is going to hit it big and deserves to hit it big. But I think overall, when you look at the economics of baseball, I think, you know, the analytics-driven front offices now have, maybe not for the Yankees as much, maybe a little bit more for the Mets at this point, but have really had a negative impact on salary growth over the last few years.
Yeah, I just can't understand why everybody has to have a public opinion on this in both sides one way or another. Now, I shouldn't actually say public opinion in all of these, but there's a lot of opinions that go through baseball insiders as well. So you don't hear a lot of owners that are putting their names on it, but they're getting their side out through certain guys, certain contacts they have, things that they want out there. And that happens on both sides. But it's just amazing to me that there isn't a day that goes by that you don't have somebody recognizable, tweeting about this, going on a radio show, talking about this. I mean, what, yesterday it was Marcus Stroman. Today it's Max Scherzer. I mean, it's just on and on and on. I mean, this is not the way to endear the game to the fans. I mean, well, this is not the way to do it.
Gee, there's over 800 players, so they're all going to have a point of view on this. And I totally understand. I understand the emotional aspect.
You have to tweet it out. You have to tweet out the point of view? I mean, you call your union rep? Can you go and you talk to your wife about it? I mean,
I can't even imagine what it would have been like back in 87. Really, I mean, it was hard enough and stressful, and it was reputation damaging. It was everything back in 87. I can't even imagine what it's like in 2020 when these guys decide to put their thoughts down on, out on Twitter or Facebook or Twitch or whatever it may be. Now, I'm going to ask you if you know who this guy is, and I'm not sure if you do know who he is. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It doesn't really matter. But have you ever heard of the name John Fisher?
John Fisher.
Yes.
Not right off the top of my
right.
head.
Right, and I didn't know him either. I didn't know who he was until I was doing some reading last night. And John Fisher essentially is the owner of the Oakland Athletics.
Oh, yeah. He's been in the people have been crushing this guy. Yes.
Right. Well, he is the heir to the Gap fortune. Now, I don't know what the Gap fortune is worth these days. I have no idea.
Yeah,
there's a sense that he's worth over $2.5 billion, but I don't know. The reason he's out there, as you're saying, and he's getting crushed, is because he is saying as of June 1st, we're going to stop paying our minor leaguers.
That's
and remember,
it.
This is also one of the teams that has started to furlough employees. This is also a team that is not paying rent on its building to the city of Oakland because it was deemed an emergency medical site just in case there was they had an overrun of COVID-19 in Oakland and they may have needed a large space to use. So he is he is one of the owners that you never hear from. You're not really sure who he is or what he does. But some of the cost-cutting measures that he is starting to put into place now speak to, I think, part of Major League Baseball. You know, even though he's a $2.5 billion person, that doesn't mean that their team is run as efficiently or as effectively as, say, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cubs, even the Mets for that matter.
Yeah, so I guess I saw one tweet that paying the minor leaguers would cost him and his organization about $1 million
right.
if they paid him through September.
That's
and
right.
He's not doing that. Now, people then make that comparison. Well, this guy's worth $2.5 billion. He could go to his own bank account and pay these minor leaguers and do the right thing. But a lot of guys don't do it that way. And I know that for anybody looking at that situation, they say, well, that's ridiculous. You're worth so much money. What does that $1 million mean to you? And it affects all these minor league players. You're doing the right thing. You come out of it smelling like a rose. But a lot of guys will say, this is the business that I run, and I'm going to run it as efficiently as I can, and this is my personal stuff over here. And a cardinal sin would be to reach into my personal stuff to be able to bail out the business thing, because then that means that I'm up the creek. So a lot of guys who are billionaires look at these businesses that may be failing, and they don't want to come in and swoop in with their own personal wealth to be able to save it. And it looks terrible on paper because it's very easy in 148 characters or whatever it says to say this guy's worth X amount of billions of dollars and he's not going to spend $1 million on the minor leaguers. And it's hard to argue that.
Yeah, it is very hard to argue it, even because, owners of these teams will take losses on their tax returns,
yep.
to balance their budgets, their personal lives and all that other stuff. And by the way, also, out of that announcement for the Oakland A's came the announcement that the Marlins, who obviously is one of the least financially successful franchises, and of course the Padres, both announced that they will continue paying their minor leaguers through August.
Which is great.
So, but again, there's no uniformity. There's no uniformity at all at that level in Major League Baseball. I mean, if I'm a minor leaguer for the Oakland A's and they are stopped paying me while other major minor leaguers are still being paid by their franchises, I'm suing the Oakland A's and I'm trying to get out of my contract then. I'm trying to get away from the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
I would think, you may not have a choice, but at this point, I'm like, why the hell would I pay for a team that's not paying my minor league salary when all these other teams are?
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to go to a Major League Baseball player, have him take a salary reduction. It's another thing to just have these organizations just flat out say, we're not paying you at all. I mean,
this is all, I don't know if it's part and parcel to the PR spin by the owners. I mean, you are furloughing regular everyday employees from these teams, and the players are fighting over millions and millions and millions of dollars. I don't know where it's probably lies somewhere in between where we are right now with the current proposal from the owners. I guess we'll have to wait and see what the union proposal looks like. And, the union proposal is not going to in any way, shape or form, touch the amount of money that they think that they are owed and what they believe that they have already agreed to.
Did you strategically place that keep calm and carry on tissue box behind you for the times that we're in to send a subliminal message to all of us? Or was that just happened to be there when you switched locations? That's something I've been thinking about the last couple of minutes.
Because I switched locations, that tends to be in the shot because that's always been there.
Okay, it's always been there. So you didn't see that thing somewhere in the attic or upstairs and say,
no,
I'm going to put this here so it's on TV
to
send a message to all our viewers to keep calm and carry on.
No, there's also another thing here that says, when all else fails, hug the dog.
I would
definitely tell Al that when things are failing, hug the dog and get the love out of the dog that the dog will be more than happy to give you.
Just don't squeeze too tight because you might have a surprise with Whimsy and the stomach issues that she's having. So just be very, very careful with Whimsy right now. She needs a couple days.
Right. And I also just want to bring this up. I did catch a little bit of the warm-up show between 5 and 6 now.
Oh, did you?
And they were talking about being on my Christmas list and how it's important to remain on my Christmas list. And Al basically told Jerry that he has to remind my assistant that he's moved now and he's in a new place and has a new address.
Yeah.
Yep. So he gets his Christmas gift.
I just thought of that during the warm-up show. I was like, oh, boy, I know it's early, but if I don't do it now, I'm going to forget.
You better get on that.
Yeah, that happened to one of our makeup people, I believe, this past Christmas. He was very, very upset that the Boomer box got sent to a wrong address the year previous, and she was not receiving those gifts.
Yeah.
So it was a big thing. I remember here, like, she handed Al a post-it note to send to somebody else. Like, this is a thing that happens behind the scenes that you are not privy to, that people go to extreme measures to get their Boomer box.
Yeah, but I heard Al talk about it this morning, so now I'm very aware of what's going on behind my back.
Well, I think that you need to take initiative now. I think now you're the one, like, let's not dump this on Natalie's plate. She's got enough.
Right.
And you need to be the one who updates all the addresses. So if you hear somebody move, you reach out to them yourself and say, give me the new address so we can get this Christmas Boomer box straightened out.
Al, you know where to send the address.
Oh, I do.
I'm sure you're all over this. Yes.
Just want to update my records. I'm not going to say for the Boomer box, just in general, in case you need to reach me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's exactly the way you got to do it. I don't know if you need this or not, but.
Not sure.
Don't want that Peloton going to Matawan.
Right. That Boomer box, maybe a little bit lighter this year given the pandemic, guys. So,
right.
And by the way, Jerry also said something this morning that I thought was very interesting. When this whole thing does end, and I'm not talking about the pandemic, I'm talking about the show.
Right.
Like, will we remain friends? And I'm like, no.
Right. Yeah, I've said that for years.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to go their own way, and then Al's even forgot some of the guys that have already worked, that we've worked with for like years.
Correct.
The guys that are lawyers now, yeah. I forgot their names.
You should get them to represent you in your next contract negotiation.
Absolutely.
There's that Kid Rocco. Guys.
Like I will say, because there's two other shows that I worked on for at least one 5 years, one 3 years. And there's certain people that I'll still talk to occasionally.
Right.
But it's not like an everyday thing. It's not an every week thing. Sometimes it's not an every month thing.
Well, and my point, G, was if you look at Taz, we saw him every day for 2 years. Now, right. Nothing that says this if he didn't exist in our life.
Oh, he was miserable. You know that.
He wasn't to us. He might have been with other things.
No, he was great to us. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, like for him, that was a grind. Getting up that early in the morning and having to sit out in his car and take a nap before the show even started.
Well, that's true.
That was like a grind for him.
I am not disgruntled against Christmas or parties. I just have no interest in this company's party.
Okay.
None whatsoever.
I got it.
They shouldn't even hold one.
All right.
And Moose trying to keep him down.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I still want to work here. Okay. So, all right. Stop. Calm down. That was an interesting one. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's weird. I think because especially you guys who have worked all together. I've known Jerry for a long time, but I'm only working directly with Jerry on the same show since I started here. I've known all you guys for a long time, but it's not the same. But you guys have worked on the same show for over a decade. I think it's a little bit different with you guys, I would think. But then, I mean, Al and Jerry are not going to stop being friends, right? I mean, that would be bizarre.
Plus, they live close to each other.
Yeah. Which is a big key, too. Yes.
Which is a really big thing. And everybody's at a different stage in their life.
Like Bob Dwyer and his family, we would get together with them, I think, once a month if they lived not in Canada. But they're so far, it's impossible to get together with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. We are in a unique area where we all show up at the same place, but we are basically spelunking in from different areas of the tri-state area. All of us are grabbing our ropes and we're coming in from different tops of mountains to get to the same place. And then we climb back at noon every day. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan, CBS Sports Network, and radio.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.